It is Wednesday, August 29th. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am coming to you from a remote studio. Actually, full disclosure, I am outside of a Chipotle. I am at in a parking lot outside of Chipotle because I just got done playing probably 14 holes of golf or so, and I'm running down to downtown Seattle to go and see one of my favorite movies, Point Break, with a buddy of mine here in a little bit. But shorter podcast today. It's kind of a hodgepodge of different topics. One that got brought to me a little bit earlier today by a guy in one of the TMS groups on Facebook that I wanted to make sure that I addressed and gave some proper time to. And then a couple other things I wanted to touch base on. Initially, though, let's get to this. So there was an article from the Pain Cure Clinic that that Matthew had sent over to me. He wanted my opinion on it. And basically, there's a guy named John Thornton. He wrote this list of what the common denominator is for people that get better that have TMS. You know, what is it really that they need? And so here are the top five traits. And basically, I'm going to run through them, and I'm going to tell you whether I buy it or if I think that they're bullshit or not. So belief. Those who get better have a solid 100% belief that the pain is caused by emotions and not structural problems. I do actually believe that wholeheartedly. In fact, it reminds me of when I interviewed Jeanette Barber several weeks ago, and one thing that she had said was talking about basically if you have 90% belief, you'll probably get 90% better. And I think this is where a lot of people get stuck, is that, and I'm, you know, I've been guilty of it on and off over the last year, 13, 14 months or so, is like, even when I am at about 90%, I find myself, oh, I could just get a little bit better. Maybe I just need one last massage and it'll loosen up a little bit more of that tight tissue or something like that. And I always recoil. I always rebound. I always end up worse when I do something like that. So certainly not the way to go. So I think the belief is absolutely critical. Steve Ozanich talks about that a lot, too. You have to be able to suspend any sort of disbelief that you may have that this could be the absolute cause for your pain. It's a necessity, I believe. So I agree with number one. Number two, disbelief. People who get better seem to always have a very healthy disbelief or distrust in the medical community. It doesn't matter if your primary care physician referred you to the best orthopedic surgeon in New England, there's still nothing wrong with your spine. Chances are he's making $2.3 million per year to know it, and the pharmaceutical industry deserves even less trust. So part of my thought on this about distrust, disbelief, to sum it up, I see it as hatred or negative thoughts towards the medical industry. But you got to understand something. If you study something for 8 years and then you practice something for 15 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever that number is, you know, think of insert your doctor, and they give you a medical reasoning and a physical reasoning for it. Like, this is what they've been trained to believe. Think about all the people that are listening to this right now that are struggling in TMS healing and have struggled in the past, even if you're 100% healed now. If you had any dot of a doubt that lasted anything longer than a couple of days, right? If it took you a couple of months, whatever, in all likelihood, like, medicine is not your job. Physical medicine is not your job. You had to unwind some beliefs. So imagine being fully entrenched in something and having to unwind those beliefs. So even though I think that the medical establishment is in a lot of ways not doing good, I don't think that it's conscious on them. I just don't believe that they are being malicious or that, you know, doctors are trying to do the wrong thing. I think this is what they've been trained to do. And medicine has worked wonders for traumatic issues, trauma, things like cancer, things like infections, things like that. I think that it does very, very good. So that's my thought on that. Excitement, anticipation, and visualization of a pain-free future are essential ingredients in getting beyond pain. You can't just see how it goes, and you do see how it goes. I can guarantee you one thing, it ain't going to go well. Changing your mind and your body takes a solid commitment to do so. So visualization of a pain-free future, I think that is correct. I think that people need to have the belief that they're going to have a pain-free future, because if you walk around and you wait to live your life for the pain to go away, I don't think the pain's ever going to go away. So you need to live your life first, and the pain will go away. You need to, I've said it 100 times on this show, you need to get back to absolute full physical activity as fast as humanly possible. With me, it was a light switch. It was from It was, you know, throbbing in pain and muscle spasms anytime I would pick up a weight of any kind, to getting fully back into CrossFit and weightlifting a day or a couple days after reading Healing Back Pain. So I think it's just something that's a necessity in order to really get past that, the biggest hurdle of all, which is just ultimate trust in your own body that you're not going to break yourself. Or wreck yourself. Check yourself before you riggedy wreck yourself. problem solving. One of the most common characteristics of chronic pain sufferers who get better is their natural tendency towards problem solving. They visualize the goal and then they do the research, find the help, and do whatever is necessary to solve the problem. People who don't get better tend to be vague about both the problem and the solution. They tend to give up easily, live on support groups for their condition for years, complaining that the journaling isn't working and life isn't fair. I do believe this also, actually, in a way. I don't know if I believe in the, because the what this has me thinking about is people that are obsessed with getting better, and I don't think that that is really the way to go either. You know, you see people that, you know, they read so many books and they jump really from method to method to method. And like, I come from the sport of Olympic style weightlifting, and one issue and why a lot of people don't ever get better at weightlifting is they jump from program to program to program. They can't see that that slow burn or being able to get better over a longer period of time. And with TMS healing, it doesn't necessarily need to be over a long period of time, but I do think that the jumping is very, very detrimental. I completely agree with the people sort of living on support groups with their condition for years, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, but there are certain people that I see on these groups that if they ever start a post with, does anybody ever have insert your symptom, or has anybody ever experienced this? Like, those people are stuck in a belief, because what they're looking for is validation. They need to hear somebody else say, I've had this thing wrong with me, or I felt this way, or I've gone through this symptom, before they're going to have belief. And once they have that, like, what does that even matter? They wake up the next day and they have, you know, say they're asking, has anybody ever experienced pain in their trapezius before? And then somebody says, yes, I've experienced pain in my trapezius before. They might be back a week later. Has anybody experienced ankle pain before, right? So it's just this never-ending cycle. Like, there just has to be a point where you sort of put your arms out to the side and you just surrender. Like that this is where you're going and this is what you have to do, and really just having faith and trust. There's this movie, The Heal. It's called Heal, the documentary. But this woman makes a really it's a bold statement, but she says, we have much more belief in the ability for cancer to kill us than we have belief in the fact that we could be the 1% that overcomes cancer, overcomes whatever it is that we're facing. And it's absolutely true. So just, you know, something to think about. The last one. Take responsibility. Chronic pain winners take total responsibility for their health. Period. I wish things were different, but the only path to pain-free living usually doesn't include help from your doctor. Why? They are not trained in psychosomatic medicine, and they can't bill insurance for tension. So, interesting story. There's two things that I think about when this part was written. So the first one is I was taking a bunch of yoga classes last summer, and my teacher, Jennifer Mitchell, whom I love. I don't even know if she listens to this, but I think the world of Jennifer Mitchell. She was actually, by small world, my high school journalism teacher as well. But she was talking to the class about a lot of people, they go to the outside world to heal or cure whatever sort of an issue it is that they have going on. And where this can become extremely problematic is that you're relying on so many other people to accomplish ultimately what it is that you need to accomplish. You know your body better than everybody. You know the pain that you've been experiencing better than anybody. So it's imperative that you take responsibility for this. The other thing that I think about, if you've ever heard of that story, My 600-Pound Life, so it's on TLC. It's about people that weigh, you know, 600 pounds, 700 pounds, 500 pounds, whatever the case is. And they, there's a doctor that's in Houston that does these surgeries for these people, these weight loss surgeries. And he always talks about the need to take responsibility. There's a lot of people that will blame their family and blame their friends and blame their spouses for the fact that they can't lose weight. But in reality, like, they need to take responsibility for it. So that's what I think in terms of those five things. I think it's actually a great segue. So I've posted about this on my personal social media, and then I posted about it on the social media for the podcast. I went and wrote this article that got published by Outreach.io, and I was talking about taking responsibility. At this point, this has gotten 428 shares across multiple social media channels, and I you know, that includes LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, email, texted out, things like that. So it's gotten. I feel like it's gotten some good good publicity or good press, if you will. But I'm going to read it to you because you've heard bits and pieces of this story, but put it in this way, I'm actually very, very thrilled with how it came out. I think that I think it tells my story very, very well. So the title from, and I'll link this in the show notes, by the way, but from President's Club to Chronic Pain, how one top performing sales rep conquered chronic pain with an unexpected cure. I curled over the kitchen counter in my home. My wife rubbed my shoulders. A searing pain shot through my upper back and along both sides of my neck. The pain was nothing new. By this point, I had seen 24 medical professionals to try and solve this strange health mystery that I'd been living with for about 8 months. It was truly a living hell to wake up every day and be in so much pain that I couldn't even go to the gym and lift weights like any active 31-year-old male should be able to do. As someone who is a competitive weightlifter, competed in CrossFit, played football, played pickup football for years every weekend, and spent lots and lots of time horsing around with my daughter, this mystery pain made no sense. None. So where did all of this start? The short answer, with my sales career. A bright beginning to my sales career. I joined a small tech startup in Seattle and had my first commission sales job in 2011. The following year was the first year I was eligible to make the highly sought-after pinnacle of anybody's sales career, President's Club. Over the next 3 years, I would finish somewhere in the top 10, sometimes the top 5. I was well-respected. I was a mentor to many. I had a really wonderful life. However, when 2014 ended, I set out on a new path. I wanted to be the top performer in the entire company. The new year began, and I was off to the races. In the final couple days of the year, it was neck and neck and neck between myself and two other salespeople, Nick and Ashley, in case you're reading this. I was obsessed with being the number one salesperson. In fact, I remember taking my wife to see Amy Schumer in Seattle for New Year's Eve, and I had my phone open so I could watch Salesforce and make sure that Nick nor Ashley would pass me before midnight. Midnight came, and I did it. I was the number one seller in my company, and I surpassed quota 10 times in the 12 months of 2015. I put every ounce of selling capacity I had in those final 2 or 3 days and didn't leave a thing in my pipeline to enter 2016. Then, things took a downward turn. The new year began slowly, very slowly. By July, I think I was only around 50% of my year-to-date quota for the year, whereas I don't think I ever got to May without being 100% or more year-to-date in the 5 years prior. Something was up. I expected more of myself and was under constant internal pressure to be the best in the company. The irony? Despite this slump, the executive team didn't seem to have any concern with how I was performing. They kept telling me that they knew I wouldn't be slumping forever. None of it registered, though. I was still treating every call and meeting like it was the most important thing in the world. If a customer said no on a deal and didn't sign a contract, it would eat away at me in a way that I had never experienced before. My internal rhetoric went from, "Eddie, you're a damn good at what you do," to, "Eddie, you're a piece of shit and you don't know how to sell anymore." This is when the pain began to kick in. I started getting knee pain in mid-August of 2016. I got some painkillers from my doctor and the pain in my knee went away. A few days later, I developed severe sciatica in my right leg. Every step felt like lightning bolts shooting down from my hip to my foot. That cleared up after a week or so. Then the shit really hit the fan. I applied for a management position and got an interview. The day before, I was a ball of nerves. Normally, the best practice before a job interview is to be nervous, but to talk yourself up and give yourself some confidence. I failed. The entire day before, I would tell myself how much I didn't deserve this job, and then go back to the negative self-talk. This was when the pain really accelerated. I remember going to CrossFit that day and having this internal storm during the actual workout. I was doing pull-ups, and when the timer ended, I jumped off the pull-up bar, and my back locked up. I went into the interview the next day and completely bombed it, and the pain continued. I was broken. I was truly broken. Despite bombing that interview, I managed to pull it together. I popped some extra pain pills, and I put together a historic Q4 to make my fifth President's Club. In the final 3 weeks of the year, I came down with severe stomach issues that had a doctor urging me to get on medication for a nasty infectious disease that I ended up testing negative for. That's C. diff. Right when I got that final contract signed to send me to President's Club, though, the stomach pain vanished. It went away. I was like a junkie in a withdrawal, except the drugs was a sale. Finally, the tide turns. Fast forward about 6 months, on the day that would change my life by fulfilling the missing connection, I was lucky enough to get in to see the head team physician for the University of Washington football Huskies. Go Dogs. Dr. Kimberly Harmon. I've talked about her on the podcast a lot, by the way. After examining me and my imaging, which showed EMG problems in various nerves in the neck and the back, she asked me one question that completely changed my entire world. Tell me what's going on in your life. What is your stress level like? I had no answer. What did she mean? Why? I asked. Dr. Harmon answered, I do not care what this imaging says. These symptoms are likely a manifestation of stress. Now, most of the time when I left a doctor's office in the 9 months prior, I would simply leave with my head slumped over and a prescription for insert your painkiller of choice. When I left Dr. Harmon's office, I had a piece of paper that recommended a sports psychologist. My initial thought, I am not stressed out, or was I? Once the initial question rose, I began on a journey of self-discovery around the relationship between mental health, physical pain, and my sales career. After discovering a few life-changing resources, I became convinced that stress really could be causing all my pain problems. In July of 2017, I began seeing a psychologist and truly began excavating my life and really finding myself as a human being. We would discuss the amount of pressure I put on myself to be the best salesperson, the best husband, the best father, the best employee, the best weightlifter, the best son, the best sibling. Falling short in any category caused a seismic explosion internally. As we created a running list of all my health problems dating back to childhood, there was a 100% correlation between a stressful event in which I felt I came up short in something and some kind of a health problem. It was astounding. When I was a kid, getting teased for being fat would get paired with nosebleeds. When I was a college student, it was class overload while juggling an internship and a job, resulting in terrible reflux. I then got into my B2B sales career and could put knee injuries and illnesses to the final 3 weeks of virtually every quarter over a six-year period. All of this work I was doing with my psychologist was a game changer. Yet, regardless of the amount of work we were doing together, I would still have muscle and nerve problems when I would walk into my building. There was a conditioned response, similar to the well-known Pavlov's dog study in the 1890s. When I go to this place, I associated the place with pain and fear at a subconscious level. For those of you that know how the mind works, the subconscious part of the mind runs the show 90% of the time, and it's where we store our greatest traumas, our greatest fears, and our greatest insecurities. The company wasn't the problem. My sales career wasn't even the problem. My reactions, my personality, my conditioning, that was the problem. A month later, I made a huge decision. I decided to quit this sales job. I would spend the next 6 months trying to find myself a new company and work with my therapist. How this journey impacted my sales career? How did this experience make me a better salesperson? It's taught me empathy and better listening. For a long time, I lacked empathy with buyers and would occasionally listen. Now I find myself having more human conversations and really being an ally for my customers. Think back to Dr. Harmon at the University of Washington. She changed my life simply because she listened to me. 24 doctors before her did not listen. Dr. Harmon had the empathy for the situation. She identified the problem, she got to the root cause, and she told me how to cure the problem. Isn't that what we're all here to do in selling? So that's it, guys. That's what I wrote. And it's gotten a lot of really good, strong feedback. And I actually sent this to Dr. Harmon. And though she didn't tell me that I could read this, she gave me a response very, very quickly. Here's what it says. Eddie, I cannot thank you enough for sharing. Sometimes doing what I do can feel like a thankless task, and so it is incredibly gratifying to know that you may have made a difference in somebody's journey. I talk with people I'm training all the time about the importance of listening and trying to understand the root of a problem, not just the manifestation. Whether that's stress or the underlying musculoskeletal injury, is it okay if I share this? With deep appreciation, Kim. You know, I got it all down on paper, right? I told my story. I feel like I've been through so much, and you guys that listen to this, you have been through so much, and you know what, to be honest, like, it may feel in a way like some of you may get down on yourselves that, you know, you've got this illness that is psychosomatic, and, you know, you have pain issues and medical issues and, you know, generally just things like that, right? So it may make you think that you're weak in a way, right? That you can't handle the world as being handed to you. Maybe you had childhood traumas. Maybe you didn't. I didn't have childhood traumas. You know, when I had a lot of fucking stress, a lot of stress in my life, and I would act like it wasn't stressing me out. Having a wife, having a mortgage, having a daughter, having two daughters, having dogs, sick dogs, you know, having bills, trying to be so good at your job, right? But in my opinion, that my mind at this point is the strongest by far that it's ever been. And I think that the biggest reason for that is that I am more aware of who I am, not just what I am capable of, but what I am incapable of. I can tell you what my limits are, and I can be honest with myself, and I can be honest with you. And I would bet that if you're listening to this, you feel exactly the same way. Whether you're healed or you're not healed, I assure you that you will get there. Despite what this guy's list that I started with of five things or five predispositions, five prototypes of people that will heal and the ones that will not, I don't buy that at all. For some people, it may take longer than others. You know, some people hear about reading a book and getting better and their lifetime of pain goes away, or their years or their months or whatever it is. Steve Ozanich took a year and a half. Some people take longer than that. I still have little aches and pains that come along. You know, for the majority of the time, it was my neck and my back. My neck went away pretty fast after reading Dr. Sarno, but then it was still my back, right? Still a shift. Thankfully, my knees and my elbows and my wrist and my ankles and all that stuff has been good. My hips, right? All that stuff has been good, stuff that I'd had problems with before. I haven't had any sort of flu-like symptoms, which I had a lot. I felt like I had it a lot in the couple of years leading up to that. But I do get twitching in my stomach. I you know, my rectus abdominis, the six-pack muscle, is hard as a rock, and it's not hard as a rock because I do 8-minute abs, I'll tell you that much. You know, we've all got this stuff. And just knowing that essentially your body is designed to last you the duration of your life, and you have the world's greatest pharmacy inside of your body. You just need to figure out a way to tap into that parasympathetic nervous system. And I've talked about it on here before, and you can do that. Try and accumulate some by telling yourself that you're safe and that you're okay. You can do journaling. You can do meditation. You can recognize that you're okay. You can do somatic experiencing. There's so many resources out there for you. And I actually want to throw this out. I get messages from people from all over the world who I've never met in my life that ask me questions about this. Here's what I'll say. If you follow me on social media, on Instagram at Eddie Lindenstein, or if you follow me on Facebook, you can also find the Facebook page of the Mind and Fitness Podcast. If you follow me in any capacity, if you would be interested in doing some one-on-one coaching with me, send me a DM. I'm happy to talk to you about it. I don't have any sort of a pricing structure, anything like that set up. I would love to help some people get their lives back. If you feel that you are being limited and you want somebody to talk to you, I was a former competitive athlete. I was completely knocked on my ass by TMS, the mind-body syndrome, whatever it is you want to call it. Tough to ever recover. I was sure that I was going to be living a life of pain, ready to sell off my motorcycle, ready to sell off all my weights and stuff. And now I'm riding my motorcycle more than ever. I'm playing golf. I'm hanging out with friends and being social. I'm back in the gym. I'm stronger than I've ever been. You guys can get there. Thanks so much for listening this week. I'll be back next week with a great interview with Kelsey Graham. And then in 3 weeks, you are going to hear from Dr. David Schechter, which I am incredibly excited about. So thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Everybody have a fantastic Labor Day holiday weekend if you live in the United States. If you don't, which there's 25 countries out there that are now listening to the show, thanks so much for tuning in. I will talk to you guys next week.